I wanted to share with you a practice that I started doing as of late. And that is that I try, maybe once a week, twice a week, just for a few minutes, to try to meditate after davening. I'm sure the meditation is not for everyone. A lot of people would just get very bored or frustrated. And certainly there's not only one way to go about these types of things. But I found for myself personally how meaningful it was that after davening on a beautiful day, try to sit somewhere where the sun is shining and just to clear away everything. Clear away any anxieties, feelings of nervousness, feelings of trying to control my life or other people's lives. Clear away all of just sort of the constant noise that exists between my ears and sort of in my psyche and everybody's psyche. And just to have really just a simple moment of connecting to God, a simple moment where sort of the light, so to speak, of God's embrace can enter my consciousness. And just sit there in that state, just to clear everything away and to exist in the simplicity of that moment. And what a profound pleasure it has been, personally. I'm sure for many of you, you experienced this at different times in your own way. I'm just reconnecting in the most simple of ways with the natural spirituality, the natural godliness of a person. I found there's something so meaningful about the image that a person is born into this world, and then a person lives in this world, and when he dies, he's returned back to the earth, almost back to the roots of a person, back to the sort of the simple ingredients of the world. And how desperate we are as a society for those moments of quietude, for those moments of aloneness, moments of simplicity. I was listening on the radio this morning on 880, and they were speaking about a certain girl, and they're commenting of how absolutely unusual this is, and there's a reason that there's a story on the radio about her. About this girl who's, you know, 16, 17 years old, sounds like a totally normal, smart young lady. She made a decision to get rid of her iPhone and to go instead get a flip phone. Now, any of you who have teenage children, teenage girls especially, you can imagine what an absolute life-altering sea change, or what a radical move that must have been. And they asked her on the radio of why she did this. And in fact, her mother had commented, she said, at first I was worried, she's getting rid of her iPhone, is she antisocial? But she said, then I really, really understood her better as to why she was doing this. And she said, I just realized of the absolute strains that as a teenage girl, my phone was causing in my life. I would go to the bathroom, I'd go exercise, I'd come back, I'd have 100 messages to return. I was constantly worried about Snapchatting and Facebook messaging and who I have to return their text to and who's going to be upset if I don't do this and what I'm missing and what experience I'm not getting. She said it was just causing me such an anxiety of needing to feel connected. So I got rid of it and I just went back to sort of this simple place within my mind and within my soul. What a beautiful statement. What an amazing person. But what an amazing statement also for all of us that we don't really have that. And that even in tefillah, if you're like me, you start davening and then you're worried about this. And during Shema Kolenu, you're thinking about who won which game and which person is going there and who do I have to drive over. Even tefillah doesn't always give us that. We have to sort of create that space. I spent Shabbos with Dr. David Pelkovitz this past Shabbos from YU. So Dr. Pelkovitz was speaking about the way that we've almost become trained through everything in our life and all of technology in our life, where they did some type of survey recently, and they did this with people of all different ages, and they put two different groups in two different rooms, And in one room, they collected for those, I think it was 15, 20 minutes, all of people's cell phones and any other piece of technology they had on them. And they said, you know what, just stay in this room for 20 minutes and, you know, talk to each other or think, or there might have been even a rule of no conversation. And they said, and by the way, in the corner of the room, there is a machine that if you touch it, you're going to get a very bad shock by touching that machine. So just, you know, you should just be aware of the fact that that machine is over there. And they left him in the room for 20 minutes, no phones, maybe no conversation, and this machine that would shock a person if you would touch it. And they did a study, and this is just absolutely flabbergasting, that 70% of the men in the room went over and purposely shocked themselves, rather than sit there, you know, quietly and just thinking and alone in their thoughts and just being reflective. People went to give themselves an intense shock rather than sit alone in one's thoughts. I think by women it was 30%, which really is also fascinating, the distinction between men and women perhaps in that regard. But it's a statement. It's a statement that the place that we're often most anxious about is to be alone within ourselves. And for all of us, take a few minutes every day to clear out life, feel a natural connection with our own souls, a natural connection with God, and to live that life of serenity, of peace, of inwardness. And what a difference that would make for the rest of our day, and how we speak to our children, and how worried we are about money, and how worried we are about different things. If we can get to that place, the inner serenity, the inner calm, that inner simplicity. So I'm giving myself a bracha and all of us a bracha that we carve out moments during the day for that life and cultivate that type of life, truly live a life of being a tamim, and by doing so to bring meaning and serenity to all the days of our lives. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.